Great.
Yes, Ephesians chapter 2.
Beginning to read at verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you were Gentiles by birth, and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by the one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
Thanks, Margaret. You will have noticed it doesn't take a genius as you look around at the world that we live in, what seems to me to be an increasingly divided, fractured world. The experiments of the Soviet Union, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. Remember the USSR? It was supposed to be the way it would work. And almost overnight, it just fractured. The Balkans. If you know anything about history, we're talking Yugoslavia, Croatia, Montenegro, that area. That area, for centuries, has... people have tried to put it together, and then it's fractured. And then after the Second World War, the First World War, they put it together as Yugoslavia. In our lifetime, we've seen it separate back up into its separate nations. What have we got in our nation? We've got Scottish independence. I think it will happen, probably. That's my take on it. I reckon it, you know, we could see our United Kingdom fracture. We live in a divided world. This passage that we're reading here is so appropriate for what we have. I don't know what you thought as we were reading it. It's one of those passages that at first glance, it kind of looks rather theological. It kind of looks at one of those things of what Jesus has done, bringing people together. And you think, what's that about? What relevance has this got for us today? I say to you that it's got huge implications at the wider level for church, which we will narrow it down to at the end, but also to speak in terms of the world. Why is the world as it is? Why do people have to be at war? Why can't people just live at peace? How many times do we hear it said? Where is it all going to end? Why is it? The Bible gives a diagnosis for that. It says because people have turned their backs against God. People have become selfish. People go into their little tribal groups, their family groups, their roots, and blood is thicker than water. And because it's twisted and warped, because we don't bring God into it, we become selfish. The answer to our world's problems, it is the gospel of Jesus. It is Jesus who reconciles people to each other. So this morning we're thinking about bringing down the walls. We hear a lot about walls going up at the moment. Donald Trump going to get Mexico to build a wall to keep their people out of America? I want to see it. We're now talking about putting a wall up at Calais in our own building here. I'll show you some pictures. We're putting some walls up. You can't see what's happening in the room behind you, so I just thought I'd give you a little preview. The walls are going up as Phil and Martin are creating the kitchen space in there. And then afterwards, some of the walls will come down. We put some walls up in there. Doesn't it look great, that side? It's wonderful. Yeah, praise God. We've got so much space and flexibility now. Phil, we are so grateful to your skill that God has given you, Martin. Fantastic. And God, keep giving you wisdom for that side over there. So that's a little bit, and that's the inside of what will be the kitchen, looking out through that big rectangular shape. That will be the hatch, the serving hatch, out into the rest of it. It's a doorway on the right-hand side. Just give you a little flavour of what's happening through there. It is chaos in there, so we can't let you have a look. I mean, it's organised chaos, but it's a building site, that's what I mean. We're great at putting up walls. Some better than others. Physical walls. Emotional walls. So easy to put walls up between people. One of my all-time favourite rock albums. How many of you have got that album? Surely some of you have got the wall. Thought some of you would have the wall, yeah. Absolutely fantastic. Stunning, in my view, piece of art. The album tells a story. Really, the life and the circumstances of the lead man in Pink Floyd, Roger Waters. It's about his life and how circumstances of life, things that happened to him, they became a wall, and he built a wall to protect him from what was going on in his life. His dad was killed in the war. In the war, his mother became overprotective of him. And kind of paranoid that something would also happen to him. That impacted him. His school teachers, if you know songs are probably going around in your mind, if you know that, you know, how can you have your pudding if you don't eat your meat? You know, laddie. And it's the school teachers coming down strong on him. And he just built walls to protect himself. And he gradually built this emotional, mental wall to protect him from people and circumstances that he thought would hurt him. He brings in stardom, you know, the whole thing. He was one of the most famous people in the rock world in his day, you know, 1970s, early 80s. But he talks about stardom. He talks about drugs that he took to try and just protect him. A wall of protection around him. And what he describes in that album is what so many of us can do. It's kind of a protection mechanism. It's a safety mechanism. We put the shutters up because we get hurt by other people or by circumstances or by life. We go into ourselves. We want to protect ourselves. But the truth is, those walls don't change reality. They don't actually change anything. They just shut us off from God, who can help us, and from other people that can help us. And they actually ultimately do more harm than good, as they stop us reaching help and help reaching us. And in this passage here in Ephesians 2, Jesus talks about pulling down the walls, about bringing people together. It's about what God has done to bring people and God together, the greatest need that we have. Our greatest need is our separation from God. Jesus has come to bring God and people together. And as a result of that, bringing people together. People and people. And so rather than building up walls, it's about pulling down the walls that divide us. Bringing unity. Bringing wholeness. So you've got the first 10 verses of this chapter, chapter 2, is about reconciliation with God, what God has done. We spent a couple of weeks looking at that, didn't we, if you've been around, looking at what God has done. This passage is about bringing people together. The The you and us, or the you and them, the they and us scenario in this passage is about the Jews and the non-Jewish people. Okay, it's about the Jews and the non-Jewish people. The key verse is verse 14. I think I've got it here for you. He has made the two one, the two being the Jewish people and the what he calls the Gentile people. The Gentiles are people who are not Jews. They're non-Jews, okay? The rest of the world, essentially. He has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. So Jesus breaks down walls. Race walls, national walls, religious divides are not good, but we see them more than ever. And Jesus is about bringing people together. The Jews hated the Gentiles. They absolutely hated them. Let me read to you a little passage that I found when I was reading this. Just describes to you. Can you just, Darius, can you just slide my volume down a little bit? I'm just getting a little bit of echo on the main thing. If you can help us on that, it'd be fantastic. Let me just tell you, read to you this bit that describes how the Jews thought of the us. So this is how the Jews of Jesus, they would have thought about us. The Jew has an immense contempt for the Gentile. The Gentiles, said the Jews, were created by God to be fuel for the fires of hell. God, they said, loves only Israel of all the nations he's made. It's not even lawful to render help to a Gentile mother in her hour of sorest need, for that would be to bring another Gentile into the world. Wow. Until Christ came, the Gentiles were an object of contempt to the Jews. The barrier between them was absolute. If a Jewish boy married a Gentile girl, or a Gentile girl married a Jewish boy, the funeral of that Jewish boy or girl was carried out. Such contact with a Gentile was the equivalent of death. It's hard to imagine, isn't it, the depth of ill will and hatred between the two groups of people. The thought that God could possibly love non-Jews, to them was, they just couldn't possibly get their head around it. The great thing of the gospel, the great thing of the New Testament is that God came to bring those walls down. It's why the Jews really struggled with the Christians, and to a degree still do. It is why people hated Jesus, because Jesus talked of a wideness of the mercy and grace of God. That God accepted people that the Jews thought wouldn't, because of physical infirmity, because of nationality. Read the New Testament and you see, read the Gospels, and this is the real problem that they had with Jesus. It's why ultimately they killed him. Now, the Jews were God's chosen people. They were hugely privileged. They were called and chosen to have a particularly unique relationship with God. The idea was that through them, God would attract other people to him. That people would look at the Jews and say, wow, I wish my life was like that. I wish our nation was like that. I wish our country was like that. We need to become more like the Jews. That was the idea of it. Sadly, the Jews perverted it completely. And they said, no, you can't have anything of that. And they just kept people away. They completely missed the point. They become proud and separatist and looked and despised others. And the picture that you saw just then was a picture of the Jewish temple in Jesus' time in Jerusalem. And this perfectly shows the attitude that the two groups had. In the temple, this is the complex, and this was the main temple area here. Now, it's too small for you to see, but just around here is a little wall. It was a meter and a half high, so probably about that high. And there were little doorways that you could go into. The Gentiles, the non-Jews, were allowed to come into this place, this bit here. All right, so they were allowed to kind of get close, but they couldn't get to this bit here, where only Jews could get into that bit. So Gentiles could get so close, but not any further. They found some remains of that wall that was the dividing wall for the Gentiles. And there's another picture, perhaps a little bit clearer. This is the wall. It's artistic impression because we don't know exactly what it was like. We haven't got any original plans. But the idea was that there was this wall to keep people out. They found fragments of that wall, and that's what it said. No foreigner may enter within the barrier and enclosure around the temple. Anyone who is caught doing so will have himself to blame for his ensuing death. In other words, it's not a question of trespassers will be prosecuted. It's trespassers will be executed. You will be killed if you go in there. This is the kind of division that Jesus is talking, that Paul, well, it's God, is talking about here in his word in Ephesians chapter 2. He's saying that God has actually demolished that wall. Not physically, all right, but spiritually. He's saying that Gentiles are now welcome, non-Jews are welcome to come to God. So these two people groups have now become one in Jesus. There's a unity, there's a oneness, there's a wholeness about it. The non-Jews are welcome. They're included. They can come across that dividing wall. They can enter into fullness with God. They're no longer second class. They no longer have to keep their distance. For people who'd always been given an inferiority complex, that was wonderful news. What's all that got to do with us? Well, it's huge implications for us. Big deal. You see, the lessons, in a way, are simple but difficult at times to put into operation. The point is that God wants to bring people together in our day and generation. He wants to bring healing and wholeness to relationships of all kinds. Relationships between people and nationalities and ethnic groups and language groups. And this theme comes up again and again in the New Testament. Jesus prayed that his people, speaking of us, the new community, we might say. Bible uses a phrase, a new covenant. Is that familiar with some of you? We talk about the New Testament and the Old Testament. The New Testament is a new covenant. In the new covenant, it's the people who love Jesus. Okay, that's how you get in the new covenant. The new covenant, then this new community of which, by God's grace, we are part if we've come to God through Jesus. Okay? He's saying the defining feature will be love and acceptance by your love. All men will know that you're mine. It's the defining feature. The Bible speaks in so many ways about the importance of us accepting and valuing and supporting each other. God pictures his church, his people. He uses the image here in Ephesians. It speaks about Jesus being the chief cornerstone, and in him the whole building is being built up together. We're built to become a dwelling. Together, it's this unity thing. He uses a picture elsewhere of a body. A body is a united thing, isn't it? It's all knit together and it works. It doesn't mean it's all the same. You know, the little finger isn't the heart, the eye isn't the toe, but all of it is part of the body. And as people, we're all part of God's body. We're part of the church. You know, maybe some of us are little bricks. Maybe some of us are in the foundation. Some of us are roof trusses. You know, some of us are a seat or whatever. You know what I'm... It's all part of the same thing. And this is the image that God uses in his word. So in church, we should be the embodiment of what God wants, the bringing down of the walls. Now, how does it work out? Let me give you two practical implications of how this works. Because we're joined to Jesus, we're in the demolition trade, really, bringing down walls. There are a couple of walls that we need to break down. Okay. The first one is, you've probably got it already, the wall, any wall between two believers, or between a believer and the unbeliever. Sorry, I'll come to the two believers in a moment. Between believers and unbelievers. It is all too easy, once we've been a Christian for any length of time, to make the same mistake that the old Jewish people made.
of almost withdrawing and separating ourselves from the unbelieving, the non-Christian world around us. Instead of being in the world to influence it for good, because that's what we're here for. Jesus said, you'll be my witnesses. We're not called to come into a holy huddle. We're called to influence the world. We're called to be out there. It speaks about being salt. It speaks about being light. How can we be salt if we're in the salt cellar all the time? The purpose of salt is that it's tipped upside down and it's sprinkled to bring flavor and wholeness and preservation, isn't it? So we have to be out. So I want to encourage us that we make sure that whilst, as the old hymn says, make friends of God's children, that we also make friends of those who aren't God's children. I want to encourage you to keep relationships, keep friendships, keep contact with people who don't know Jesus. Because that's where you will influence them. We're not going to influence them whilst we're here like this, are we? The benefit of our Sundays together is that God speaks to us, that we get strengthened, we meet with people of like minds, that we learn from the scriptures together, we can talk, we can sing. There is something about coming together for church that builds us up and gets us ready to go out, isn't it? You know, it's why we need church. But 6 days of the week, you're out and away from Christians. There is nothing meritorious, there's nothing virtuous. It's not a sign of maturity to only have Christian friends. I want to encourage you then, go out, be with people, engage in society, engage in community. Take time to spend with friends. Be with them. That's what Jesus did, wasn't it? You know, he had a reputation of people misunderstood him. He had a reputation, and this is what they said, that he's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Now, Jesus wasn't a glutton. He wasn't a drunkard. They simply said, because he mixed with those kind of people, they labeled him. It's risky. People will misunderstand, but it's what Jesus did. We need to follow his example. The good news, the message that we have, is to those who are marginalized, to those who don't have, to those who are lonely, to those who are misunderstood, to those who are left out. What a suitable message this is on a day when we're talking about compassion, isn't it? It's not about keeping it to ourselves, it's going about going taking out. Now let me put in a word of warning on this. As we go out, we put ourselves at danger. It is much easier. If I may, I've got two even shoes on and the soles are clean. It is much easier for somebody to pull us down than for us to pull them up. Yeah? If we're going to go out and we're going to rub shoulders and we're going to try and influence people for good, if we're going to try and pull them up, if we're going to, you know, in the right way, I don't mean pull them up in, you know, being rotten to them. I mean, if we're going to try and influence them for good and bring them up and lift them up out of the miry pit, we've got to be strong ourselves. It is imperative that we keep our relationship with God right. Really important. Otherwise, you will get pulled down. I will get pulled down if I lose my relationship with God. So just a word of warning. It's a balance. But whilst we're in here, people aren't going to understand us. Out there is the real world. It's where the real work of influence takes place. Get out of the salt cellar. Get the light from under the bucket. Go out to them. So that's the first thing about the barriers being brought down. That's our responsibility. And then the other thing that I mentioned, I'll do this quite quickly, just the walls between Christians and Christians. This is really, really important for us. Jesus wants us to be together. He wants us to have that. Now, we have that responsibility. It won't happen. We are one of the wonders, one of the beautiful things about church is that we come together and we're a group of people, we're a family, who would probably never choose each other's company by, you know, because we're so different, aren't we? You know, you'd probably, some of you would never choose me to be your best friend. You just have to put up with me as your pastor. You know, The reality is that in a church there are different people and we have different characters, we have different backgrounds, we have different educations. We are just different. And in most other walks of life, that it can create all kinds of difficulties. Differences create difficulties. But, you know, with Jesus, he says, the wonder of the gospel is that different people come together and they care for each other and they love each other. It breaks down the walls. Many years ago, I came across this. It's humorous, by the way. It's meant to be. It's not meant to be serious. I was walking across a bridge one day and I saw a man standing on the ledge about to jump off. So I ran over to him and said, "Stop, don't do it." "Why shouldn't I?" he said. I said, "Well, there's so much to live for." He said, "Like what?" I said, "Well, are you religious or atheist?" He said, "Religious." I said, "Me too." "Are you Christian or Buddhist?" He said, "I'm a Christian." "Oh, me too." "Are you a Catholic or a Protestant?" He said, "I'm a Protestant." "Ha, me too." "Are you Church of England or Baptist?" He said, "I'm Baptist." He said, "Me too." "Wow. Are you Baptist Church of God or Baptist Church of the Lord?" "Oh, I'm Baptist Church of God." "Wow, me too." "Are you the original Baptist Church of God or are you the Reformed Baptist Church of God?" "I'm the Reformed Baptist Church of God." "Oh, me too. Are you Reformed Baptist Church of God, Reformation 1897 or Reformed Baptist Church of God, Reformation 1915? He said, "Reformed Baptist Church of God, Reformation 1915. I said, "Die, heretic," and pushed him off. One of the greatest difficulties that we have in sharing our message of reconciliation with a skeptical world. I don't need to say it, do I? It's church and church, denomination and denomination, and Christian. This is why we have to do our utmost to bring down the walls between us that would otherwise easily divide us. Our little nuances, our little differences of our understanding of bits of the Bible. Some of you like to read the NLT version. Some of you like the King James version. Some of you like the old hymns. Some of you like the modern songs. Some of you would love to have had the pulpit here. Some of you like it like this. Some of you would like to have a music stand rather than a table. Some of you would like to have hard wooden chairs. I'm praying for you. But rather than this. Some of us would like it quiet. Some of us like it noisy. Some of us would like the time a little bit earlier. Some of us would like the time a bit later. Some of us would like the services shorter. Some would like them a bit longer. Some of us like sport. Others don't. We're praying for you as well. We are just different, aren't we? Brothers and sisters, let's do all that we can, all that is in our power, to accept our differences. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We've all been saved the same way. We've all been washed with the blood of Jesus. We've been forgiven by Jesus. It doesn't matter our differences. We'll hold them, we'll work them through. When we get to heaven, you'll realize that I'm right on it all. But the point, you know what we're saying. You know, we're called to be God's light. We're called to be witnesses. If we let things spoil that, then we're working against the very thing that God came to bring. It doesn't make it easy, does it? It's hard to live at peace. It's hard not to take offense. For some of us, it's hard not to give offense. We say things. We forget things. You know, we overlook things. We say things in the wrong way. Offense is so... We're that far away from it at any one time, aren't we? Let's keep remembering that none of us are perfect, nor are we meant to be perfect yet. We're on our way, though. Let's do our best to do our best to live at peace with each other, with our world around us, that people would look at us and say, "I'd like to be like that." If the world was more like that church, it would be a better place. If there were more people like those people, the world would be a better place. If we can do that, we're going a long way to creating the opportunities to share the gospel of Jesus, because it's He that does it, isn't it? With an open heart, then we can talk about Jesus. We can tell them that He's the one that makes the difference. He's the one that helps us get on together. He's the one that helps us get through our difficulties. He's the one that helps us forgive. He's the one that helps us love those who we wouldn't normally love. He's the one that helps us to show compassion and to be tolerant and to be patient and to keep us on track. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises up to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. My prayer, and I hope your prayer, is that we as a group of people will always be a group of people, a temple, if you like, that God is pleased to dwell, that He delights to be here, to meet with us, to live in us for His glory. Shall we pray that? Yeah. Our Father, You've taught us through Your word, Your intention is to break down the walls rather than build them up. And in response to that, we say to You this morning that we give ourselves to work with You to break down the walls. Would You help us to be a forgiving people? Would You help us to be a tolerant people? Would You help us to be a patient people? Would You help us to be a self-controlled people? Would You help us to be thoughtful and mindful of others and not of ourselves? Would You help us to be people that are willing to overlook the faults of others for the greater good? I thank You that that is so much what this church is about and has been about for so many years. Lord, we can't live in the past. We need to live now and we need to live in the future. So we're saying this morning, Father, as a group of people here, a family together, would You please, by Your Spirit, help us to continue what has been the case in the past for Your glory, for the well-being of the fellowship here, and for the impact on the community around us. Hear our prayer, Lord, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for His glory's sake. Amen. Amen. Let's sing our last song.